Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Pharmaceutical Commerce Podcast. My name is Julian Upton, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Pharmaceutical Commerce. I'm joined today by Vin Colicchio, Vice President, Supply Chain and External Manufacturing at Dr. Reddy's Laboratories. Vin will be talking to us today about some of the issues and challenges and opportunities that he's faced over the course of the pandemic, and beyond that, in the generic space on the supply chain side of things. Now let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we'll be right back with Vin.
LabVantage Solutions is a global leader in enterprise laboratory software solutions that improve customer outcomes by transforming data into knowledge. Its intelligent LIMS platform features advanced analytics, state-of-the-art AI, and mixed reality technologies that enable revolutionary advances in the pharmaceutical industry by drawing greater insights from broad data sets. For more information, visit labvantage.com.
Vin, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, Julian. Happy to be here and representing Dr. Reddy's for our supply chain operation.
Okay, so if we dive straight in and to this broad question, what would you say are the supply chain issues that are specific to your industry, to the generics industry?
I think generally speaking that what we see are on-time deliveries of our finished dosage products to our customers on time and full, avoiding long lead times. The second item I would say is maintaining cost-effective products at our operational expense. What we want to do is maintain a balanced cost, both for our organization, but also for the products that we offer to our customers at a fair market value. The next item I would say is congested supply chain logistics. What we see right now is air freight, sea freight, the lead times for those are increasing, as well as escalated costs. And that is something that we manage to control as much as possible. The next item I would say is recruiting and retaining top labor talent. What we're seeing is competition for a lot of our labor, whether they're already in Dr. Reddy's or people that we're trying to recruit. And then the other items that I would say would be that ensuring that our manufacturing sites are audit ready at all times with the regulatory agencies, whether they're with the FDA or any other international regulatory body, to maintain compliance in all facets of our business. And then the last thing is digitalization. Automation for the supply chain. It's got a lot of speed going on right now, and this will only continue in the future.
So I think you probably will have covered one of these in your assessment there, but what for you has been perhaps one of the most important advance in supply chain in your career?
What we see right now is that digitalization and technology has been the biggest driver of change in supply chain and also manufacturing processing in the pharma industry. Specifically, we've seen a lot of automation take place on the pharmaceutical production shop floor with PLC controls, programmable logic controllers, HMIs, human machine interface systems, and also recipe-driven control systems to automate the processing. All of this is to optimize manufacturing, increase yields, minimize the waste, and improve the manufacturability overall. The goal is to reduce variance and variability of our products, but to really ensure that the production process is adhered to at all times, free of deficiencies. What we also see with digitalization is that we're seeing really the advent of speed in all aspects of the business, whether it's in manufacturing, whether it's in QC analytical testing, release of the products, shipments of the products, and also in the back end part of the business, as well as the front end, whether it's commercial, sales and marketing, whether it's finance or any other unit operation that we've gotten in place. But digitalization will really improve our ability to get products to our customers overall. Things that we're seeing in terms of logistics with digitalization is the tracking of temperatures of the products while they're in transit. When ships are in the middle of the Atlantic or the Pacific and they're going to port, we can actually see what temperatures they're being maintained at. And also when they do get into port, the temp tails are being checked. These are the sensors that are going to be showing the temperature data range and the humidity ranges. But then also technology plays a big part of serialization. This is when we're packaging the products for the prescription products, and they require the protection of patient health as well as the prevention of anti-counterfeiting. So those aspects of really ensuring a secure supply chain is paramount with serialization in the industry. And then also throughout the years, we've seen the ERP systems, whether it's SAP, Oracle, JD Edwards, whatever it may be, that they have integrated the businesses leaps and bounds of where they were from, let's say, 30 years ago. And that's integrating supply chain, manufacturing, finance, quality, the business aspects, and that's also helped run the business. And then I think that one of the other parts about digitalization is the 3PL logistics, third-party logistics providers. The companies have control towers set up so they could check on the locations of their ships and their planes or wherever they are. Whether this is done by FedEx or UPS or DHL, the technologies are in place. And it's good to know that you can get a read on where your products are at any given time. And I think just from a non-technology perspective, universities have now for years offered undergraduate and graduate degree programs for supply chain management. That didn't happen back in the day when I went to college many, many years ago. But it's great to see that when we are recruiting people, that they have, more often than not, those degrees in supply chain management. And even the interns that we recruit, they also are involved with those programs. So lots of very good evaluated changes over the years.
Yeah, and you touched on some key points there that we've been trying to cover ourselves in the magazine in terms of advances. But just to flip that around and talk about the challenges that have grown up. Now, we could go straight into COVID, but or we could talk about that in a minute. But I mean, what new challenges have arrived, I guess, over that same period?
It's the speed of the business. I think that nothing is being waited on. We have to really continue to ensure that we're meeting the needs of our customers, whether there's a COVID pandemic situation or not. But the expectation is that we're able to keep in lockstep with those requirements. One of the things that, as I mentioned earlier, is labor. One of the challenges that we see is getting trained and qualified manufacturing and supply chain staff for the areas that I oversee. That continues to be a challenge. We sometimes see our people getting poached by competing companies. But also, when you look at what's happening with companies like Amazon, as they are also heavily in the hunt for supply chain talent, we do know that we sometimes have that challenge of getting people on board. And then when you look at the labor costs that are involved, they tend to be higher than they used to be. And we are investing more in our labor costs and our labor budget overall to recruit and be competitive in this space with getting this supply chain talent. And I also think that one of the things when it comes to digitalization is that having systems in place means that you're also investing heavily into the IT space, whether you're recruiting people, maintaining people in your cost centers, or updating the systems. And that's natural. It's just a natural byproduct of what we have, is that we spend a fair amount of OPEX to maintain our systems to ensure that we're running supply chain properly at all times. And then I think the challenges that we also see is that you want to become a priority partner with your suppliers, and your supply partners may be anybody that provides active ingredients or raw materials or packaging materials, or they also do the manufacturing or packaging operations for you. We have contract manufacturing organizations, CMOs, and contract packaging organizations, CPOs, and making sure that you're a priority customer for them. That is essential because there's so much competition with many pharma companies doing a good amount of their business at these organizations, as opposed to just having it at their own manufacturing network. There's a lot of competition for their lines, and getting that partnership in place could make the difference about getting a priority spot in the queue. So that's very important. And then the challenge is always visibility into supply risks and disruptions, whether it's production or equipment or materials or labor overall at these suppliers. That's an important part of understanding how they operate and managing your supply chain risks.
So if we talk a bit more about the problems of the last 2 years, and of course that includes the pandemic, dominated by the pandemic, but now also some political and geopolitical issues that could get worse after reading the news in the last few days. With the sort of drug shortage problems that stem from one international crisis or another, how do you prepare for that, and how have you addressed it in these last 2 years?
First and foremost, we need to make sure that we have enough supplies in place in terms of the raw materials and the packaging components, the way we start our business, to ensure that we have finished drug product at our 3PL. What we prefer to do is have roughly 3 to 4 months of active ingredient supplies at all times at our factories. And we work with our contract manufacturers to ensure that they're also getting enough active ingredient in place so there's no shortage. But one thing that we do is that we look to have anywhere from 2 to 3 months of finished goods safety stock at our 3PL to ensure that not only can we meet the demands in case there are any kind of supply disruptions, but also ensuring that if there is the event that one of our customers needs more finished goods, then we can supply that with them. If there's any one of our competitors that may have their own supply interruptions, that we could take advantage of that and be ready to go with shipment to our customers. So those are very important points that we manage with. And we've learned through the pandemic that we did have challenges and we managed to meet those challenges over the course of time. But because of those lessons learned, it's very important that we don't take it for granted and don't get complacent, and that we're always on top of our game in that respect. I would say that also the thing that we have to make sure is that we ensure we have sufficient manufacturing capacity, whether it's in our Dr. Reddy's plants in India or in the US, or whether it's at our CMOs and CPOs, because when you don't have the proper level of capacity, it will constrain our ability to get products on the market. Now, so far, we've done a great job with that, and we'll continue to manage those things accordingly. I would also tell you that dual sourcing for active ingredients and certain critical raw materials and components, that's also critical, because what we don't want to have is any disruption in our single sourced material now becomes a constraint. As long as we have dual sourcing for key materials, that's the right pathway forward. And the one thing also I would emphasize is that getting visibility into the operations of your suppliers. If they're having any issues with labor constraints, whether it might be health issues with their workforce, materials or machinery issues, or just capacity. And of course, the weather plays a big part. Hurricane season's happening soon enough in the U.S., and that will continue through the summer, through the early fall. And we're always mindful of that, how that impacts shipping lanes, how that impacts the manufacturers themselves. So those are the things that we look at 100%.
So it sounds like you already had this good disaster preparedness or this crisis preparedness in place. But even that, with that, has the pandemic changed the way you do anything, or perhaps looking more broadly out to the generics industry in general, what has the pandemic changed in the way it approaches supply chain?
I think it's been a big impact. I think, initially we heard that there was a big push for Made in America programs. There was many companies initially were saying, we'll move active pharmaceutical ingredient manufacturing sites from overseas into the U.S. That's a difficult thing to do because of the expense involved, and also they're not exactly environmentally friendly processes that get done. So I think many companies rethought their situation on the active ingredients and they kept them where they were. What they have done now is they just purchased more quantities to keep it in-house to ensure that they don't go supply risk. But companies did look at U.S. localization in terms of finished dose forms and manufacturing their products. So some products did get brought in from overseas to have it closer to home, while many companies opted to maintain their operations, whether it would be in India, Europe, or elsewhere in Asia, for instance. But keeping those sites active, keeping the materials there in full supply, and ensuring they're able to produce. We've seen that with our business at Dr. Reddy's, that we have our network in India, and as I mentioned before, with our site in the U.S., but we do leverage our CMOs overseas as well as the ones in U.S. and Canada, and that ensures us that we've learned the lessons of the pandemic to a great advantage to make sure that we have products coming to our customers on time and in full. And so what we look at is that we want to ensure that there's an unconstrained approach to managing our supply risk. Of course, you can't manage every single risk that comes up, but we strive to. I know the other pharma companies do the same thing. But what we look at is that building sufficient lead time into our planning cycle, building sufficient lead time into sourcing of materials, manufacturing, QC testing and release, and then finally shipping the products from overseas into our 3PL. Sufficient lead time is critical, because if you don't have that in place, it means that it makes the difference between meeting your sales targets on time or going into the next period. So that's the thing that we spend a ton of investment on. I can tell you during the pandemic that we were spending $1 million a month more in sea freight and air freight for the better part of a year, because the freight costs were just astronomical. We saw initially, air freight costs going four times what they initially were, and sea freight costs going almost twice the amount of what they were. But now what we've also seen in most companies, whether it's pharma or non-pharma, We still see congestion at the ports, and that has abated to a certain degree. But on average, we're still seeing anywhere from 5 to 7 weeks end to end on this thing by the time we get our products into the U.S. and unloaded at our 3PL. So we would like to see that come down, but that's also a function of the trucking industry and the amount of the units that are out there with the containers and the container ships and then how fast they can unload at the ports. But that's been well documented, but we're still managing through those aspects of it like most companies are. And then looking at what we do with the air freight, while it is costly, it's still relatively the same amount of lead time that we can get it in there. So anything that we see as urgent priority products for our customers, they will be air freighted in there. Anything for a new product launch, likewise, they'll also be air freighted in there too.
So yeah, that's interesting. And of course, I'm speaking to you from the UK, so we have the same sort of issues, and add Brexit to that as well, which made it even a little bit more difficult. If we could just conclude our talk with maybe a broad, but not an easy question, but I wondered what your thoughts are on what actions manufacturers in general can take on improving patient access to generic drugs around the world.
It's really an important part of what we're doing here. And it touches on some of the things that I've mentioned before, but really improving patient access would be to have products available at all times, both being ready to manufacture more products in your network, as well as having the assurance that you've got, let's say, 2 to 4 months of finished good supply over at your 3PL. But being more innovative with the digitalization, what can you do to reduce the lead times of getting product on an end-to-end supply chain from the time that you're getting your in-source materials released and ready for production and then over for final shipment to your customers? That's critical, getting the end-to-end lead time compressed, and that makes a pivotal difference between ourselves and our customers. And then really, as we see at Dr. Reddy's, the old adage might say, do more with less, but what we're trying to do is do more with the same. If we're looking, as we are, to increase our revenues twofold in the next 4 to 5 years, it doesn't necessarily mean that North America, that we're going to be increasing the workforce by 100%. But we really have to lean on those digital tools to increase the ability for ourselves to do the work with the same resources in place. So that's our goal for Dr. Reddy's, to do that. And then building a better relationship with our suppliers is absolutely critical to this, to make sure that these things are being resulted on and improving your partnerships. I find that when you are a large customer, you'll certainly get the priority of the services from your partner company. But if you're not ordering a tremendous amount of volume, that puts you at a disadvantage. I do believe that you can counter that to a certain degree by having proper relationships in place and working with them to understand their problems and also leveraging your know-how. So if your partner companies are having any kind of technical challenges, you can also provide some advisement to them and help them with some of the challenges that they're facing. And I always felt that that is very, very helpful. But lastly speaking, our customers are critical. We want to understand their needs and what they need for us to get speed to market on our products to help them meet the needs of patient access and improve how they operate within their companies to ensure that we get our products to their patients 100% through there.
Thanks for that, Vin, and great answers to our questions there and great insight into a company like Dr. Reddy's and what you're facing. So I think everybody will be interested to hear about what you've said there, and just want to say thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Julian. It's my pleasure.
So it just remains for me to say thanks to the listeners for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you on the next podcast. Thanks a lot.